It says, I know you, your affliction and poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will have affliction for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Anyone has ear should hear, or anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The victor will never be harmed by the second death. I think it's pretty well self-explanatory here. And honestly, with me taking an extra week to do this, a lot of the bullying talk that I had in my head came from some of my studying of this because of the way that this talks. But Christ commends the Smyrna church for enduring persecutions. And then he pledges them eternal life, even though their troubles are about to be worse. And this is a difficult time. I mean, if we read this and we look at this, they are going through everything they possibly can. And then what does he say to them? Yep. And he's like, just deal with it. It's just going to get worse for, you know. And then he tells them what's going to happen. He's like, you're going to have about a 10-day affliction here. So just bear with me for a few days and we'll be back on track. So in verse 8, you know, I talked the last time. I said there's kind of an order. Well, it's been 2 weeks. There's an order of how things get laid out. So I want to start first with how that happens. The first is that you see the description of who it's to. So it all starts with the angel to the church of, which we've talked about would have been messenger. The next thing we see is that then there's the characteristic of God, the characteristic of Christ out of the description that was in the first part of, or in chapter one, is now being used to describe to each church who God is. And it's always something. So the characteristic used here in this one is the first and the last who was dead and came to life. That's the characteristic that you see here in these verses. And basically it leads us to understanding that Christ has always had the power. He's always had that, you know, he says the first and the last, meaning what? He's the bookend, is the way I look at it. I mean, Christ is a bookend. He was there at the beginning. He'll be there at the end. Why not allow him to be there through the middle also, you know? And so his power over sin and death is also proven in this description. So he's there at the beginning. He'll be there at the end. And what else? He was dead and is now alive. So he won those battles. He is always there. And death doesn't hold him down. I mean, we're just coming off of Easter. We're pretty well versed in that description of him, right? So, you know, and the fact of that is those descriptions give hope to the persecuted Christian. Those descriptions give hope to the persecuted Christian because he was there when it started. He'll be there when it finishes. And he came back to life. He brought the dead to life. He himself was dead and came back to life, meaning even if you die, you'll come back. Even if you die in this persecution, and you see that promise later, is that you will not be harmed by the second death, if we go all the way to verse 11 on that. So that's the characteristic that we see here. They needed this kind of hope to carry on. So that's verse 8. It brings us to verse 9, where Christ gives, or where we see the compliment that he gives the church. Remember, it's a compliment, then it's what you're doing wrong. Was it the compliment, then what you're doing wrong? Because Smyrna, I think, is one of the churches that wasn't doing wrong. Because there was always a complaint in there, too. Figure that out. Huh?
Martin was good.
Yeah. You had the characteristic, the compliment, and then the criticism that was given. Because I've got all these broken down that way. But there's two churches where there is no criticism on what they're doing. Smyrna is one of those because they were already getting criticized enough by the world Anyway, the second is Philadelphia, which we looked at and probably congruently would have been existing at the same time as Laodicea, or is existing at the same time as Laodicea now. Or, you know, they were the exact opposite of Laodicea when they all seven were sitting there in that little path of travel, so to speak. But so we see this, and he gives them a compliment here. He commends them for their willing endurance of tribulation and poverty. And what that means is they were going through every struggle. They were a persecuted church. If we look in the third world today, China probably is a good example of that. You've got churches all over the world where Christians are being persecuted and they're dealing with it. They're still coming back. It's an underground church. They're being completely torn apart and they still come back because it is worth that to them. You know, Stephen was stoned. And he looked up and he said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. All he had to do was deny it for a moment, right? You know, it brings back the Columbine thing when the story came out about them putting that gun to that girl's head and saying, do you love God? And she said, yes. It was one word, but she knew she was dying when she said it. And yet, those are the things that we're talking about here. Is like, you know, they had remained pure through endurance and tribulation. And poverty. And these afflictions were caused by the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Welcome to the 21st century today. Here we are. We're sitting in here today. Now, I'm really getting to the point where I don't really even want to get into the battle about the American church compared. I don't believe that we need to, but the American church looks a lot like Smyrna if we just focus on America itself. And there was a description here in some ways. I mean, you know, there's a church all over the world here, but there are Christians who are, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, there are true Christians who are in the church who are trying their best to preach a message, who are trying their best to live it out, and they're being pushed down, beaten down, and broken down by the ones who call themselves Christians. It's kind of the discussion we were having earlier in some ways. You are broken down by Christians. We're torn down, broken apart, and told that we're wrong and that they're right because they're Christians. And the reality of it is are they truly living out the life? I mean, these were Jews who would call themselves Jews, who would say that they were, but they weren't. Now, it might have been a different thing. It might have been that they were Gentiles acting as Jews in this church. But either way, calling yourself something that you're not and then tearing other people down, they were called here a synagogue of Satan. That is what they were responded as. We have that in the church today. I mean, there are people who call themselves Christians who will tear Christians apart just simply based on the fact that you don't live the life I say you need to live. And then that in some terms is the church of Satan. It is the synagogue of Satan. Because what happens with those people in the church? They become toxic. But yet they're the ones that make the friends. They're the ones that get people in. And nobody ever believes that they really exist. Until it's too late. And then you're going through all these struggles. But, the thing is there's a striking condemnation of the Jews here that met for worship in Smyrna. So if you want to really get down to it, he kind of is giving a criticism here of some of the ones in Smyrna. But not all of them. Because they were almost... It's almost like he's saying, look, I know they're there, but I also know they don't come to this meeting. So I'm not going to bash you guys because you're the ones that are coming. Because this is maybe a special meeting. I don't know. When this was read, it almost sounds like this was read to a select group of people. And, you know, but maybe it was one of these things where they just they needed to hear it to know. You know, that's a difficult thing. But what we see here is that they are slandering Christians. Their meeting had become a synagogue of Satan rather than a synagogue of God. So there's kind of this whole thing. I guess at what point you could say, you know what, they probably were meeting somewhere else. They were going to church, having their meeting. It would be like if we had a huge church, everybody was coming every week, and then a select few of us were meeting somewhere else secretly because there were others trying to run the church, and we were like, this is not how this is supposed to take place. Because that would have been their synagogue of Satan, and then you had your little select group that was actually trying to live the word in the way it was called. So that takes us through there, and you've got to understand that just as those in Smyrna claimed to be God's people, the Jews proved by their actions they were not worthy of it. And we can do that on a daily basis. If our actions don't respect you, if we aren't living out what we say we're living, it's the same thing as what we're seeing here described. But, you know, so we get to verse 10 and there's a command given. And, you know, Smyrna and Philadelphia kind of escape criticism. But as I said, I don't necessarily know that Smyrna is truly escaping criticism. He just knows that there's a secret meeting and they're the ones hearing it. So they're not the ones guilty of the situation, kind of is what it sounds like to me. And in studying, I mean, I'd have to study a little more to understand, but, you know, it's almost like this is written to a select few that's being persecuted inside the church because they're faithful to what God's call is, while you've got this other group that is tearing them down, ripping them apart, telling them that this can happen or that can't happen. And so it gets in here, and the first command is given to them because they're now hearing a message that they may have been afraid of. But the first command is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. You know, so the suffering in Smyrna is about to get worse. In other words, the church is about to have problems. But you who will remain, just stay strong. Be firm. The tribulation will expand to the point that some church members will be thrown in prison. And he's giving them a time frame on some of this stuff because the persecution will extend to the point of death. What is being realized here, and what I'm saying is, you know how you can speak a message and if somebody's offended, they'll walk out the door and may never come back again? Or if they're put to a test where death is on the line, possibly. You know, tell me what you believe or I'll kill you. Sometimes that temptation to side with that other side, to not necessarily side with the one who is, you know, to side with God just to get your freedom might be what was taking place here. So we see that this suffering comes because God has determined that you may be tested. In other words, I think this is to weed out that church. I think that what you're seeing, he's talking to this church because he's saying this is going to happen and there's going to be a testing that's coming. And that testing is meant to weed out those who do not belong with you. So that's why there's no criticism here, because the ones that will remain aren't being criticized. It's the ones that will not when it's all said and done. You're going to go through 10 days of trials. Those people will not be here when those 10 days are up. I believe that's what we're looking at here, because the while the Lord's tests are not pleasant, there's a good goal at the end of them, and that is the crown of life. But we got to weed out the bad ones first. I mean, how many times do we go through struggles in life where we know that we're doing everything we can possibly do, and you feel like you're being weeded out yourself? Because it's day in and day out, you go through trials, and it's just so hard, so tough. But verse 11 brings us back to a commitment that Christ makes. And this is the beautiful thing of it all. He makes this commitment to the Christians in Smyrna. He who has ear, let him hear. Or he who has an ear and overcomes is what is said here. You know, he who has an ear, listen to what the church is, what the Spirit says to the church is, the victor will never be harmed by the second death. He who has an ear and overcomes. That is the promise, that you will not be hurt by a second death. Christ died and came to life again. And it's powerful enough to keep his faithful people safe, even when they go through the gates of martyrdom. When they get murdered for their faith, they will not die but once. You know, I mean, it's appointed what, once for every man to die? And then the judgment. And what does he mean by the second death then? Hell. You got heaven or hell. It's life or death. Eternity is eternal life or eternal death. That's all there is to it. It's two choices. So the first death is merely the death of the body. The second death is eternal separation from God. Matthew 10:28 is a reference to that if you need it. But Matthew 10:28 references that fact, that it is eternal separation from God. If there is any basic key, I guess, key in this section, it's kind of the end of verse 10 where it says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life.
Kind of goes back to Matthew 24, he that endures until the end will be saved.
Exactly. If you can hold out, if you can live it out, if you can get through the end, you have this promise. You know, obviously this testing is a tribulation period that no one has ever seen. We may go through trials and troubles and difficulties, but what this church was going through, and that's why I think that there is a church of Smyrna that's larger than the church that's being written to. But what I see in it is that that church has, maybe they're meeting in a separate location. I haven't really been able to find anything on it. But what I'm seeing in the way that this is worded, you know, the persecuted believers were not promised escape from tribulation, but they were promised something greater, because the grace to endure the afflictions without fear and to be able to pledge themselves to the one who died for them and came back to life is got to be something. I mean, that's the pledge that's really being given to them here, is that they will endure to the end and they will get a crown of life when it's all said and done. But the reason that I feel like this is a smaller portion of a larger church is that at some point in this whole thing, it's obvious that there are some who are being called the synagogue of Satan. There are some who are persecuting others within the church. Now, one of the main reasons I would look at it that way is because it may have been in an area where, kind of like here, almost everybody goes to church. You know? Now, up until recent years, that definitely was the case. It was hard to find people who weren't in church a lot of days during the year. Now, we're not seeing it as much around here, and that's unfortunate. But at one time, it would have been hard to find a lot of people that weren't in church. And it would be like one church persecuting another church because they don't believe the right thing. They don't say the right thing. They don't do the right thing. And that little smaller sect of that bigger church is split off and having their own meeting. But they're being told, if you can just hang on, just hold out. You know, we're going to weed those other ones out because they will not endure this testing. It will be a testing of your faith. And if you can endure to the end, there's a promise for you that no one else will have. And that is that crown of life. You know, the beautiful thing about that is that we can look at this and we can see that. And we can remember that the victor will never be harmed by the second death. But he will receive the crown of life. Because he who is faithful unto death, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That is the promise that we see with the Church of Smyrna. So that's all I have for that. That's why I said I think we can get through it. I know it's short. Any questions, comments?